Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, do we still have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, let's do it. We have a promo code of 2022 half off, and you use it at VR Trader. That's Victor Robert, VRTrader.com. And any of our newsletters are 50% off when you enter the 2022 half-off promo code. And also, as a disclaimer, I just want to mention that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
The Bank of Canada today upped its central rate 0.5%, its fifth hike in a very short period of time, a record period of time for hiking that fast. What do you think the Fed's going to do when it meets next week?
Oh, I'm pretty sure they're going to raise rates. And you know, there's always this debate, speculation that they're going to do less or they're going to give everybody a early Christmas gift and decide not to raise rates. So, you know, all kinds of positive expectations, which I think are misdirected. But that's one of the reasons the stock market, I think, has been rallying, along with the upcoming midterm elections in the U.S. and the hope that Republicans gain more control of the House and Senate, which perhaps would lead to more of a more sensible economic direction for the country. But the Fed will raise rates. They're determined to do so. In my opinion, they have a long way to go. In my opinion, you know, the Fed funds rate is going to have to equal the inflation rate, which would at least compare it back to what Paul Volcker attempted to do back in the late 1970s, 80s, which means, you know, if we're at 8.5% and the Fed funds rate is approaching the 4% level, we got a long ways to go. I think in Canada, I think you're at the 6.75% inflation rate, but we're going to at least get up to, I believe, up to that 8% level, and I'm not saying it's happening in 2 weeks, but over the course of next year, unless something really dramatic happens. You know, we've got all the, you know, geopolitical issues out there, and, you know, we still have COVID supposedly spreading around again, and you've got China, Taiwan, you've got Iran, Israel, you've got the U.S. now disagreeing with Saudi Arabia over the fact that Biden couldn't get them to produce more oil, so oil's going to stay strong. You know, there's a whole issue with food shortages. We talked about this. In fact, the Kraft Heinz CEO, in an interview just recently, last few days, expects continued inflation and more price increases next year. So this is particularly relevant to agricultural products. So inflation's not going away. I don't necessarily agree. In fact, I have a whole section, you know, in my newsletter, and I discuss it, and I'm actually putting out a little piece on it next weekend. But, you know, I'm in this abolish the Fed mode because, you know, they're really incompetent to begin with. Ben Bernanke, the former Fed president, actually said he stated essentially a few years ago that it was because of the Fed. The Great Depression was worse than it was because they raised rates at the worst possible time. So you got an incompetent institution. And then on the other side of Washington, you got Congress, who is inept, you know, spending money that they don't have. We've got $32 trillion in debt. So you've got Congress and Senate, the House of Representatives, Senate spending money, Fed trying to curtail things so the tail doesn't know what the dog is doing, and the head and the tail are going to two different directions. So there's so many things, the mishmash going on here, that unfortunately, the long-winded response to your question, yeah, rates will go up, maybe they'll temporarily stall in some sense, but I don't think they're going to catch up with the inflation rate. And unfortunately, there's a risk. I hate to be a doom and gloomer, but, you know, we could be starting the late 1970s, 1980 phenomenon, and what Paul Volcker encountered may be what's really in front of us here, which means rates could go dramatically higher. I mean, would they get to 20% back in 1980? So, I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, nothing is carved in stone. Maybe something will change politically, or, you know, both in terms of potential war or in terms of a political change that calms things down. I hear supply chains are starting to improve and so forth. But, you know, a lot of this could be BS related to, you know, politicians trying to get reelected. And just general good cheer this time of year. You know, basically October is viewed as the quote-unquote bear killer in bear markets. Historically, you generally get some type of low in September, October, and you get a rally into the end of the year. It doesn't happen every year, but, you know, that plus the election. So people were getting more optimistic, thinking that inflation is being controlled, which may not be the case because it gains votes and on and on. So a lot of jawboning going on, I guess, is the best way to describe it. So I remain a bear. I think rates are going to continue to go higher. You know, we're getting a year-end rally, which we talked about in this broadcast before. I'm not going to say it's going to go up every day. Maybe it'll zigzag a bit higher, but I think ultimately they're coming back down again when reality strikes. So, yes, I think the rates are going to go higher.
Have you, Denny, done any looking at the Baltic Dry Index that looks at worldwide shipping? Because I live across from a small shipping container port, and for a lot of days, we go now without any container ships there at all. And 4 years ago, there were always three or four ships parked there being loaded or unloaded.
So that really tells you that the supply chain is still blocked somewhere, right?
Well, there aren't the ships there. Now, it isn't a formal study, but somebody who loves to watch ships off the balcony, I'm just noticing we can go days without a container ship being there when normally there'd be three or four.
Right, right. There was a lot of talk that things were improving, and of course a lot of the container ship stocks took off when the floodgates were open and they were able to start getting back in business. You know, a lot of it was related to COVID and a lot of activity was frozen and they couldn't go anywhere or do anything. So, I don't really have, you know, statistics or handle. You're looking out your window, so you have a better view and sense of it than I would, you know, but I guess if I was looking out at Long Beach, California over the port there, I'd get a sense because there was a big backup there and they were showing all this type of stuff that things weren't moving and sitting on ships. So I don't know if that's changed dramatically, though I did hear there was some improvement, but, yeah, I mean, it's a complicated issue, Jim. You know, it's not just interest rates. It's war. It's, you know, the supply things where things were held up and people can't get caught up. I mean, for example, if you're trying to buy a car now, I mean, I was doing some inquiry just buying a car. A lot of these cars, to get a new car, assuming you even want to buy a new car, is very tough. And some of these are not even produced yet, so they're trying to put orders in for them. I was on the phone with a dealer today. You know, they're having to, you know, when the new stuff is going to really start coming in. So there's still a hang up. I don't know whether it's semiconductor issues or just other material issues out there. But, you know, there's still a clog somewhere there in the drain. You know what I mean? There's still stuff going on. And, you know, I hope for the best. I hope I'm wrong. I hope everything clears up. Interest rates drop back to 2%. The stock market explodes to new highs. And there's no food shortages. And there's no geocosmic activity. And everybody's happy as a gander.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with lithium? Is there still a huge demand for that as they try to get us into electric cars that may take 6 or 7 years to finally show up on the dealer lot?
Yeah, the lithium stocks, you know, have overall been doing well. It's a place to be. It's like uranium. You want to be in uranium, too, because, you know, common sense is starting to hit that maybe we need more nuclear plants. There are some of these other new type of nuclear plants apparently are faster and cheaper to build and get up and running, but there's still a lead time there. Yeah, so lithium is part of the long-term trend. It's like saying, do you want to be in solar stocks, which I've liked for years, and the solar stocks have done well. That's a big picture trend, you know, to the upside. You know, alternate energy investments. You know, look what Tesla has done with the cars. They're still the world leader, and, you know, people are, you know, looking to buy EVs and so forth. So it's all part of the, you know, I guess multi-decade growth process that we're experiencing or hope to experience. But, you know, a lot of it's contingent. You know, can we manufacture these cars and actually get them charged? Is the energy grid going to be big enough and strong enough to accommodate that? And we realize now it really isn't. And, you know, crazy places like Germany decide to cut back on create more alternate energy and get rid of their basic energy and can't supply heat for their citizens during the summer. And, I mean, cool in the summer, you know, heat in the winter, that is. And, you know, so we know we haven't planned for the transition, but, you know, the anticipation of it is making lithium, you know, valuable. And they are building EV vehicles, and I guess you're going to have to maybe put a gas generator in the back of your EV vehicle and kick it on to charge your EV vehicle if you can't plug in somewhere. Of course, if there's an energy grid problem and it's really serious and goes down anywhere, you won't be able to get gas either. So there's all kinds of theories about what you do about that. You put solar power in your car, so you charge your car with the sun, so you don't have to depend either on electricity or gas. Or eventually, do we move toward fusion or nuclear-type vehicles, you know, much small generators inside of our cars, which not even being discussed, but the technology is there because it's already in military planes and ships and starships and, you know, aircraft carriers and so forth. So nuclear may be the answer across the board for all our energy needs, but whether can you get it down to a compact, you know, tiny unit for everybody's car, or whether we get our cars on solar or something else. But yeah, we have a lot of problems ahead here, you know, in terms of the conversion. It's going to take time, and I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do, but we can't get rid of oil. We need it for a lot of other things. And you know, the pressure to that's anti-oil out there is working against the advancement, because we need all, and we need everything working together, and you just can't cut off, you know, like the Keystone Pipeline and stuff like that and think you're making any progress. So interesting times ahead here. You know, it's a multi-decade transition. That's really what it is, and it's not bad. Of course, just as a side comment, I mean, you know, all the pollution in the world suddenly doesn't disappear because we're driving EV vehicles. A lot of other things create pollution. And, you know, and what if a super volcano goes off and that puts the whole planet in jeopardy? It cools everything down and we don't have any crops and possibly can cause a lot of death around the planet. So we can do all we want, but it's in God's hands, or the geocosmic hands ultimately.
Well, when the COVID shutdown first started in China, all their factories were closed. People were locked up across the nation. All their highway traffic disappeared, and their pollution only went down 15%. Not enough to meet these artificial goals.
Correct. There's so many things that affect the climate and our weather and things that we just can never, ever control. And unfortunately, many of them who are anti, so global warming, or you know, thinking they're anti-humankind, that we're causing things. All you have to do is check non-human history, you know, in the tens of thousands or hundreds of years prior to this time, when there was periods where the climate warmed, when there were no humans here and no factories and so forth. So of course, there is also the theory that high civilization appeared, has been come and gone on this planet. I mean, there's a lot of evidence now being dug up. It's what they call secret archaeology or undiscovered archaeology. Things they discover don't fit. Something is 14, 15,000 years old when they thought it was only supposed to be 3,000 years old. Even the pyramids and all the kind of artifacts and civilization being discovered on the planet. So it's clear to me that there was high civilization here on Earth way before us. It could have been millions of years ago or hundreds of thousands of years ago, and they got wiped out, you know, whether it was an asteroid or a super volcano or wars or whatever, and we see with humankind or some similarity to humankind that seems to come back. So I think we were probably even in the Indian mythology and in all these cultures around, there were Sumerian mythology, and in even the Greek, and all the, they all talk about the gods that were here on the planet and the powers they had, and these could have been just, you know, advanced civilizations that existed here, and we destroyed ourselves. So it's really interesting if you get into the theory about worrying about global warming, killing ourselves, or nuclear war. The unfortunate truth is it may have happened before and it'll happen again. You know, it's a story, I guess, of the universe.
You're interested in NASA's investigation into what they now call EAPs, unexplained aerial phenomena. We used to know them as UFOs, but do you think they're going in with an open mind and maybe be a little more scientific about it? What are these things that Navy pilots are catching on their radar and on their videos?
Well, you know, the real question is, there's been so much discussion about it, and they had a congressional hearing a few months ago again, and they opened it up again, and the real question is, who's benefiting by this? And there's the government statements we're talking about, how we really don't know what they are, and they could be a threat to us, and why are those statements being made? They actually mentioned a threat, an undisclosed threat or an unknown threat. So is it because they're trying to raise money for military budgets? Or are these vehicles reverse-engineered craft, alien craft, that are flying around? It's really our own stuff that they're not telling us about. Some people don't believe there were any reverse-engineered craft. I believe there were. There's just too many instances and stories coming out of Area 51 and people that had one guy in particular had worked there and others. And you know, a lot of stuff. I'd have to send you, or you know, put it in my newsletter, all the detailed accounts, even in Russia and in China, in the UK, there's instances of crashes of unknown vehicles, and supposedly it was covered up. So it makes sense that maybe something crashed and we reverse engineered it, and suddenly our technology took off big in the last 50 years because we discovered stuff. So what I'm trying to get to is that a lot of these craft we're seeing are not necessarily alien craft. They may have been influenced by them. Maybe some are, but it could be our own stuff and our own technology. So I've always been a big proponent of the so-called secret space program. I think we have advanced technology that, and I mentioned this before on the show, and people think I'm crazy, but you know, a lot of anecdotal evidence that we've been to the moon, we have bases on the moon already. Some even speculate we could already have a base on Mars, and stuff of this stuff even goes way, way back to Nazi technology. A lot of our space program, in fact, most of it was because of Nazi scientists. What was it called? Operation Paperclip. After World War II, they brought all these Nazi engineers over and, you know, gave them freedom and released them from any war crimes. And they became, including Wernher von Braun, became the head of our space program. These were all Nazi scientists. And apparently there was some advanced technology in Nazi Germany. They were attempting, according to some sketches that were retrieved, were trying to create some flying saucer type craft, whether they were successful or not. Big stuff going on, a secret base supposedly in Antarctica that the Nazis had set up in the 1930s. There's a lot of literature on this. It's just not casual stuff. There's pages and pages of documentation about this. So what we're seeing up in the sky, just not to be so, you know, lengthy, is, again, could be very advanced technology. And I'm just wondering, too, I put this in my newsletter, what if they try to stage a false flag event, like they fly these things in over Washington and they land and people think it's aliens when they're not, and they try to scare people on a certain level, or you know, to try to create more sympathy for, you know, military budgets. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of sociopaths out there in government, so I wonder if it's going to be used for the good or for the bad, but I'm pretty convinced that what you're seeing in those videos and that UAPs you're talking about, some of which actually land or crash, or not crash, but actually dive into the ocean and come out again, which is incredible. You know, there's stuff out there. So I just think, you know, as unfortunately government doesn't tell us everything, they hide secrets from us all the time. We have to get the Freedom of Information Act, enact that, just to pull out things that the government does. And getting into the financial sphere, as I mentioned, the Freedom of Information Act, when you dug into that, you even found out the Federal Reserve was doing stuff that they never told you about, like investing in private companies and doing all these things that they don't talk about publicly. And that came out of the Freedom of Information Act. So certainly a lot of stuff that's been released, and you dig through all the documents, you see the UFO phenomenon, you see the Federal Reserve doing stuff. So the bottom line, the government is not your friend, and they don't tell you what's going on. And what we're looking up and seeing in the sky and what those Navy photos were showing us, you know, may not be what you think they are. It doesn't mean they're not really there, but they may not be the alien craft that that the Pentagon is trying to convince us that is a threat to us. It could be their own stuff. So it's interesting what's happening out there. Hope we all live long enough. It's like trying to find out the answer to the Kennedy assassination. You wait decades to find out what happens, and you never find out. It's the same kind of thing with the UAPs and the UFOs. We just hope that we live long enough to get the answers.
Yeah, they keep reclassifying all those documents so you can't look at them. They're supposed to be released after 40 years, then 60 years, then 80 years. Finally, right. People will just forget, like, who was Kennedy anyway?
Yeah, you ask the young kids, they probably don't even know he existed, right? That's unfortunate. Mm. So, yep, a lot of cool stuff out there. We love asking the questions. I keep delving into it. And, you know, a lot of these things are just, distractions, too. You know, you wonder why the UFO phenomenon became so front page, or the, you know, we even discussed it on this broadcast. We were talking about it off air. The big interest in Sasquatch or Bigfoot now is all over the media. We mentioned this off air. There's actually a Lexus commercial out there. If you turn on TV, I don't know if you've seen it or not. I've seen it many times where they're driving down the road and the kid asks, what is it? And the father says it's a combination between a bear and a Sasquatch. And the mother says, you know, basically hush up, you know, let's not scare the kid. So why is that in a Lexus commercial? There's something going on with Bigfoot now. You know, we know there's something out there. I mean, the Yeti in Tibet has been a story for, you know, generations. Native Americans and cultures all over the world talk about something in the woods that looks like a big bear or a big gorilla walking around. So there's something out there, and it's just a question of why. It's sort of curious why it's becoming, you know, more talked about now, like the UFOs. So you wonder, are these just distractions? Is this part of a diversion project on the part of the government to get us thinking about other things, or are they really out there? And as I do, you pay attention to them and see if we can find the bottom line of what's really going on. So trying to figure out the stock market, you're thinking about contrary opinion, what the market's really going to do, and putting together all these other things we're talking about are all part of being successful. You know, you try to do your research and figure out what the real purpose and direction of all the commentary and the press releases are. Are these, you know, to direct our thinking in one way or to distract us, or are they really real? So just fun. It keeps the day going, Jim, you know, when the market opens in the morning and the horses are out of the gates, and it's like, you know, a new game every day, and keeps the adrenaline moving.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us on our special Halloween edition.
Thank you. Happy Halloween.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.